Hello, everyone. Hope everyone is well and ready for another podcast on this Monday. My name is Walner.
And I am Katasi.
And we want to welcome you to the Failing to Freedom podcast,
which is a podcast about our journey to entrepreneurship by way of real estate investing. So tell them what we do, Walner.
Well, we're real estate investors. Essentially, what we do is we buy properties at a deep discount and either sell it to another investor who's either going to keep it as a rental or they're going to take the property, fix it up, and then sell it on the retail market. The benefit of that is they're getting it from us at also a deep discount because they need to make their profit as well. So that's what we do for a living. We are full-time investors, and we just like to welcome you guys to our podcast because we want to teach others as well how to get into real estate investing and the benefit it has on someone and reaching their goals for financial freedom.
That's it. So this week, we want to welcome any new listeners and we want to welcome back any recurring listeners. Great to have you.
Definitely. We hope everyone had a wonderful holiday. Yeah. For those who celebrate the Easter holiday.
And if you didn't, I hope you had a great weekend.
So you were actually out of town. Tell me how that went.
It was good.
It was good. I heard you were filling your mouth with food. There was all types of food.
Okay, what?
I ended up having to stay at the house taking care of my dogs, and she didn't bring back anything at all. So that shows you guys what kind of partner Katasi is.
Wow.
But it's okay. I know there's people who have good partners out there.
Okay. So
what's our topic for today?
Our topic for today is the three ways that you can invest with little money and or experience.
This one actually, this is a juicy topic because I think this is one of the most sought out questions or answers that people try to find is how to get into real estate investing. Because I remember in another podcast, we talked about how people have no clue on how to get started and they don't even want to jump into real estate because they think it's for, you know, rich guys or people who are well off and it's not, you know, something that's accessible to them. But that's one of the myths that we actually debunked, where it is available to anyone who wants to learn it and then dive into it.
Exactly. Like, you can do it, and you can do it with little to no risk virtually to yourself. Of course, buying houses costs money, but it doesn't have to be your money.
Right.
And we are going to give you three ways that you can invest in real estate without any money and with little experience on your part, because it's also important, you know, there's always a learning curve to things, and no matter how much you read, which is if you revisit our podcast, the three books to read,
mm-hmm.
to get you started on real estate investing.
Oh yeah, they'll find it. Just go browse our topics and you'll find the three books that we recommend that you read.
And you know, you will learn, and here's the thing, we took courses, we mentored with people. There still is a learning curve when you're actually doing.
Right.
So we want to talk today about some doing, some action.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to talk to you about ways that you can gain some experience and that you don't even have to have money to do.
Right. Little to no money or experience.
Right. Sorry, guys. My allergies are killing me. I got to blow my nose. So the first example of the ways you can start getting into real estate investing is literally like the easiest way to get into real estate investing.
Okay, what would that be?
It's called bird dogging.
Bird dogging. What the heck is that?
Bird dogging. You can grow up from a bird dog to a lead dog, which is what Warner is.
Oh, goodness.
But you can start as a bird dog.
Essentially, what that is a bird dog is a term used in the real estate investing world. It's literally bird dog, B-I-R-D dash D-O-G.
Yeah.
And essentially what they do is you're basically a scout. You find a property whatever the situation is, maybe it's run down, or maybe you just know someone that's looking to sell, or you know somebody that's, you know, having a hard time paying their mortgage, or whatever it may be, whatever the situation is, you find a property and you literally just tell an investor about it. For example, let's say Katasi's an investor who buys houses, and
I am an investor who buys
houses. Right, and I'm Walner, who just lives on 123 Main Street. And let's say I'm walking to class one day and I see a property on 124 Main Street, and I notice that, you know, maybe
the grass is overgrown,
or, you know, the roof has patches, or it's falling off. And I just approach Katasi and I tell her, hey, Katasi, there's a house literally next door to me that looks pretty beat up. That you might want to take a look at it.
And you may say, why would someone take a look at it? Okay, so for real estate investing, houses that look vacant or really, really beat up, you know, you're not necessarily always buying houses on the market. You're not necessarily buying houses that are for sale. Sometimes you reach out to people who haven't necessarily worked with the realtor to put their house on the market. If a house is falling apart, there may be something there that would motivate the owner to sell. So you would just simply write down the address and give it to an investor. That's literally all you do. Mm-hmm. That investor will then investigate, try to find the owner, try to find out what's going on. They may or may not sell the house, but if they do,
buy the house.
If the investor actually gets in touch with the owner's like, yes, I want to sell. They agree to go forward with the sale. That investor will come back and give you a fee.
Mm-hmm. He'll literally pay you for bringing him that lead, because he probably wouldn't have found that house if you didn't bring it to him.
Exactly.
And that's something you pre-negotiate. You would basically, you know, have a pre-negotiated price with the investor of what he's willing to pay whenever you bring him properties. And that could be anywhere from, what, $100, $500, and
it could be a percentage.
Or a percentage, right. There's really no cap on it. It's just whatever you guys negotiate and are exactly comfortable with.
Because understand, to a renovator, this house could be $25,000 to $80,000 profit. To a landlord, it could be the same.
Right.
Investors are here to make lots of money. So what is it worth to give someone $500 simply for telling them about a property that they would have not found otherwise?
Yeah.
People do it all the time.
Yeah.
People do it all the time. We try to find people around and tell them all the time, like, hey, we give people our business cards all the time. And we're like, if you know anyone who wants to sell, if you see any house that you think is vacant,
right,
if you know anyone who's having a hard time, give them my number. And when they give us their number, we give them a cut.
Right.
Because even to a wholesaler like ourselves, that property could be $5,000 to $15,000 to $20,000.
Right.
So I'm fine giving $500 to somebody for simply just telling me an address.
Exactly.
And now,
go ahead.
Now understand that, you know, the process, you know, may take a while. You know, it's not even like sometimes when we get in touch with the owner, you know, we buy the house that week. It may be months down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, we got a call from somebody that we met 8 months ago.
Almost a year ago.
And they still didn't want to sell, but, you know, it's just a follow-up. And sometimes it can take a year or more to buy a house. Point is that if you give an address, you would simply get a fee. You have no risk. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to negotiate. This is the easiest way to do it.
Exactly.
Of course, you have very little control over the price that they negotiate at and things like that.
But if you're looking to get your feet wet and to kind of learn the process, that could also be a good way to shadow an investor who's actually buying things. But if you're looking to get into real estate, little to no risk, what's a $500 paycheck, or what's a $1,000 or $2,000 paycheck?
Yeah,
it's a win to you. Now, when you get more advanced, you can start demanding prices with more techniques that you learn. Once you get more acclimated into real estate investing, you start learning what to do.
I mean, this is virtually no risk. So, you know, $500. Understand, like, if that person ends up making like 80 grand and you make 500, it's because you had very little risk mm-hmm. and you had very little, like your contribution was major because finding houses is major. It's just that, you know, you didn't do a lot of due diligence and things like that. So you'd get a small fee. But what this can teach you is how to find houses when you start upgrading and doing other things. You know, this will teach you how to find houses and what to look for in a potential off-market property. So this will gain you that level of experience. Second way, now if you want to go get a little bit more hands-on, spend more time, a little bit of money to market yourself, a little bit more time to find houses yourself, you can become a wholesaler. And becoming a wholesaler, you still don't buy the houses. Now, instead of just telling an address, when you find the address, you find the homeowner, you negotiate a price with them, you agree to let them to have them sell to you, and now you have a contract.
Mm-hmm. You put everything under a contract.
And now you have more control of how much money you make. You can go from making 500 to 5,000. Mostly because you've done the due diligence. You know how much the property's worth at this point. You know how much the property's worth at this point. So you know how much profit there is for the potential person you're going to sell it to. So you can now ask a price that will still be beneficial for them to make that profit and for you to walk away with something that was worth your time.
Right. Right.
Because wholesaling is simply this. A property has a market value of what it would be if it was drop dead gorgeous. So you take that value, you minus repairs and fees that will cost to get the property fixed up and sold. And that is the number that a rehabber or a landlord is going to pay for that property. Now, what you make as a wholesaler is the difference between what the homeowner agrees to sell it to you for and what you can sell to the rehabber for.
Right.
And it's definitely going to be more than $500 because now you have control. You know all the numbers and you can set that price and you can make a whole lot of more money, but you have to do way more than you did of just giving the address.
Right. And we get in more in depth into wholesaling. We'll get more in depth in a future episode or something that we end up doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially what wholesaling is, you negotiate a price with the homeowner at a discounted price. You put it under contract and you literally just sell it to another investor for a higher price. And whatever you're able to make in between, that all goes into your pocket, your bank account. You can do whatever you want with that money.
Exactly. And wholesaling, fun fact, is actually in real estate investing the highest paid amount of dollars per hour. Because even this whole process of finding the value and calculating repairs and negotiating, the amount of hours you put into it will be minimal compared to the price that you make. I think the first property that we wholesaled, we made 15 grand from like what, 10 hours worth of work?
Maybe 10 hours. Right.
You know, like 10 hours of actual work. And what was that math? 15 divided by 10.
1,000. 15 divided by 10?
Oh, 15,000 divided by 10.
I don't know. I'm not the math whiz. Get a calculator.
Oh my God. We're so fried.
Anyway, it was that number. And, you know, I don't know where in the corporate world or regular jobs out there where you're making $15,000 in 10
hours. $1,500, duh.
There you go.
Per hour.
That's right. We're moving commas, right?
Yeah, we're moving decimals. $1,500 for every hour that we worked, which is amazing. So wholesaling, definitely more time, more effort, but more money. More money. The third way, and now we're talking about more experience, because at the end of the day, when you put a house under contract for wholesaling, you don't have to buy it. Like, say you can't, for some reason, find anyone to sell it to, like any investor to sell it to, you don't put money down in the process of agreeing to buy it with the homeowner. So if you end up having to walk away, you just walk away.
Right. And that's where we talk about little to no risk. Because when you're wholesaling, Right. It's not necessary, just like Tazi said, that you will find a buyer to buy the house. You want to put yourself in a position where you will have a buyer for the house or a potential buyer for the house. However, if you don't, you always have a contingency or exit plan where, you know, all that risk won't fall back on you. It's just a matter of, hey, you weren't able to get the house sold and you part ways with the homeowner.
Yeah.
Or you can recommend them to someone who will be able to help them out.
Exactly. So no money on your part. Still not a lot of time, but now you're getting more experience. You're getting more experience in doing the numbers, calculating repairs now. And for all that, for exchange for that, you're getting more money than bird dogging.
Right.
Even as a wholesaler, you can hire bird dogs to bring you properties that now you do the due diligence on and pass them off, and you make some money and then you pay them.
Mm-hmm.
The third way that you can make money in this business with little to no experience. And also, let me say something about wholesaling. I know a friend of mine wanted to, you know, get into the game, even if she had money, right? Wholesaling is also good if you don't have any money. Like, if you are a very poor college student, or like somebody who's trying to, you know, get out of debt and stuff like that, you don't have to leverage a lot of money, because by the time you put it under contract and you sell to an investor, you're just making the profit in between. You didn't put any money on the line. It's a good way, even if you have money, say you have like $200,000 to invest and you're like, hey, I can just go in and renovate homes. Going through the process of wholesaling, I think, is good practice, even if you have money and no experience. Because now you learn how to do due diligence on homes, which is the way you make money. You make money on an investment when you buy it. So if you don't have your numbers correct, if you don't know how to estimate repairs, if you don't know how to estimate value on a property and you just go buy stuff because you have money and no experience, it's not going to be a good look. You're going to put yourself at a bigger risk of failing miserably and and then losing your money that you actually have. So even if you have money, I would suggest you start wholesaling to gain experience in dealing with properties, in dealing with sellers, in dealing and negotiating, dealing with buyers as well.
And dealing with numbers.
Dealing with numbers.
At the end of the day, investing is all about money. Money comes down to the numbers. You always want to make a return on your investment. You never want to be in a position where you're at a loss.
Exactly.
So wholesaling is definitely a great way to just learn how to invest in real estate.
Exactly. The third way, taking it up a notch, you can joint venture, or JV. They call it JVs, joint venture. So you can find an investor who has a lot of money, but very little time. Which is usually how it works out. The busier people are, the more they're making, the bigger their business is, the least time that they have to actually do these things themselves. Because understand, vetting a property, finding a property, all these things take a lot more time than money. That's why you can do it if you have little money and more time.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the trade-off. They don't have a lot of time. They have the money, but they don't have the time. You, on the other hand, you may not have a lot of money, but you do have the time. And that time will be going to what Katasi mentioned. You're the one looking at the properties. You're the one negotiating with
homeowners. Well, I haven't even told him what JVing is.
Okay, go ahead.
So joint venturing is you find somebody who has a bunch of money who also invests, so they know what they are doing. You need for them to know what they are doing because you want to learn from them.
Right.
That's the trade-off, right? So you're going to say, hey, I have a lot of time. I'm a new investor. I want to learn. You have a lot of projects that you have going on, whether it be whether they're wholesaling or renovating. Let's say they're renovating properties. Finding the property, doing the numbers on the property, like Walner said, and even managing the project with contractors all take a lot of time. And you find the more money people make and the more they ascend into business, the less and less they want to do with the everyday stuff.
Right.
They want to hire that stuff out. They want project managers.
Right.
They want people to vet these properties for them, run the numbers by them. They approve for it. They pay for it. And someone else does all the work. That's where you can step in. You can step in and say, hey, I'm a new investor. I have a lot of time. How can I help you run your business so that I can gain experience?
Mm-hmm.
And make some money also. So We have somebody who right now we're also mentoring under, who is just excellent, has been so successful, is also younger, and, you know, for renovating, we wanted to be working at a level where we make little mistakes, so we went under his umbrella as well. And the trade-off with that is you do all the work, but when the house is sold, you split the profit. So now you have a house, it's being renovated, and say there's a $50,000 profit at the end after the house is renovated and sold on the retail market. You can agree to up to 50% of that, for you do all the work and they pay for the whole thing. And people will gladly work with you in this way. Even if people say, okay, you know, because if you've been wholesaling for a while and now you know how to do numbers, you have a little bit more to offer, they will be more likely to give you the 50%. But if you're brand new, they may go, hey, 30 or 40%.
Right.
Which is still really good money. It's more than what you'd make wholesaling, and it's definitely more than you'd make bird dogging, but it's a lot more work, stress, commitment.
Right. And what value does a person bring to this experienced investor?
The value they bring is the time. They give him his time back. He doesn't have to manage contractors. He doesn't have to go out finding the properties. You do all that.
Right. So not only are you managing the property, right? And understanding that, you're learning as well. So you may not be the best manager at the beginning stages. So you're learning. You're learning to become an effective manager. And the more effective and skillful you become, the more that experienced investor will want to work with you. And the second biggest thing that we need to hone in on is you bring in the property to the deal a lot of the times.
A lot of time, but you don't even have to.
Right. You don't always have to, because a lot of people will definitely be willing to pay you to manage their properties as long as you're very good. Well, in the beginning, in most cases, you may not be very good at managing because you're just starting off, and the person may still want to pay you. But to get up to a good percentage of the profits at the end, it's always helpful that you provided the product, which is the property as well.
But even though, because we're talking about people who have no experience, so we don't expect them to be good.
Right.
Even the point is, you are going to someone who's successful because you want to also learn from them. You're not bringing any money to the table. You're just saying, use me. So you're going to them because they run a successful business. They're going to instruct you on what to do. So it's not like they're going to be like, oh yeah, manage my properties and you can just do what you need to do. They already have systems in place. They already have the standards that they have. They already probably have contractors that they use. They already have realtors that they use. They already have a system of how they do their numbers, what they like. All you're doing is saying, hey, I will take, since your time, because by the time someone's making millions of dollars worth of real estate, they don't want to do stuff bird dogs do. They don't want to do stuff wholesalers do. They are willing to pay you a profit for you to do that because their time's more valuable than, you know, for $500 an hour or $5,000, you know. So they will gladly pay you a portion of the profit, a lower portion if you have less experience, obviously, but they'd be willing to train you. And for that, the better you get, the more and more you get closer to 50%. But JVing, ideally, the perfect partnership would be a 50-50 split. If you have less experience, someone may be hey, I'm willing to train you, I'm willing to instruct you, I'm willing to have you shadow me, you do all the work under my instruction for 25%. That is still better than what you'd be getting wholesaling and bird dogging. And you gain experience as someone who's completely new, who's never done this before. You'd be gaining experience and you'd be making a lot more money because it's a lot more to deal with than wholesaling and bird dogging.
Correct. Now, understand that depending on the payment arrangement, in most cases, in this partnership situation, you get paid when the property sells. So it's not a faster paycheck like wholesaling or bird dogging. You have to wait for the properties to be done with renovations and then sold on the market. That could take, you know, 4 to 6 months easily. So it's a slower check.
But the better the house check. Is, the quicker it sells.
Yeah, it's a bigger check, but it's a slower check.
That's true. And wholesaling is quick checks.
Yeah, wholesaling, bird dogging, those are quick checks because all you're waiting is for closings. Closings for
or even agreement
or agreements as well. Yeah,
some people will pay you for bird dogging upon agreement to sell. Wholesaling, some people pay you up front, and not after the closing, after they've actually finally bought the property, which it would be like 20 days later.
Right.
But with rehabbing, you're gonna have to find the property, fix it all up, which could take a month or two. Then wait for it to sell. Then you get it, but it's a bigger paycheck. And but you will, the exchange is that you would also not be putting in any money at all into the project, but you'd be putting a heck more of your time.
Right. And we've been a part of all of these three different types of ways. We've been a part of all three, and we've had some good experience in all three.
Yeah.
I remember our first bird dogging.
We only did one.
Yeah, we only did one. I guess because we jumped into wholesaling, so that bird dogging was fairly simple.
Well, it was a situation where we couldn't make the numbers work to wholesale it. Mm-hmm. So we just told someone about it, and we're like, hey, if you buy it, just give us $3,000. And she bought it, and a week later, we got paid in cash.
Exactly. It was a home. It didn't work for a flip, but it had good equity in it. Good equity
potential. Yeah, it didn't work that we could squeeze out a wholesale fee out of it.
Right.
But if we just simply, we're like, okay, we're not going to look into this further. Because if I look into it further, I want more money. I'm like, hey, I'll just give you the address. If you can work something out with the lady, then, because we knew they wanted to sell. It's just that the numbers did not work for us to make a wholesale fee. So therefore, I did not want to continue to negotiate and spend more time on it. And we gave it to an investor who it would most likely work for. And it did. So it sold and we got $3,000 a week later.
It was a win-win. Win situation.
And wholesaling, we've done almost 20 to date. And for rehabs, we've done 5.
That's correct.
We've done 5 with partners. Mm-hmm. So we've done all of these strategies. We don't have money. We have yet to buy a house. We've never bought a house with our own money. We don't have any. And at each stage, we had... our experience has grown and grown more and more. We have a lot of debt that we're working to pay off, and we're paying it off with the profits that we have earned through real estate investing, through bird dogging, wholesaling, and joint venturing with experienced investors who pay for properties, and we do all the work.
Right. So, guys, this can be done. Real estate investing is not limited to anyone. It's actually available to everyone. And once you start doing these techniques and keep recycling these things and just doing it over and over, you'll see that you'll be out of debt. You'll start seeing more money in your bank accounts. And then you'll be in a position one day, if you want to continue real estate investing, to start doing projects yourself.
Exactly.
And that's the name of the game.
And that's the biggest check.
That's the biggest check. You start from anywhere and then you keep growing to progress and... sky's the limit. Sky's the limit.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening to this podcast. Want to tell them where they can find us?
You can find us on social media. We're on Twitter and we're on Periscope at Failing2Freedom. And we're on Facebook and Instagram on Failing2Freedom. Failing, that's T-O. Failing2Freedom. And you can also reach out to us if you have any questions, comments. Please go to our...
send us a message on any of the social media platforms.
Definitely. And also, you can go to Periscope. You can go to iTunes. View the podcast. Leave messages. Give us your feedback. What did I say?
Periscope.
Sorry. SoundCloud and iTunes.
Subscribe.
Yes, please subscribe.
Tell someone about this because we're young. We have debt. A lot of millennials face these same problems, but guys, there are ways. People are making millions of dollars around you every day.
Oh, yeah.
There's properties every day. You live in a house or apartment or a townhouse or a mobile home or something or a boat, something that could be flipped, wholesaled, bird dogged. There's a lot of money all around you everywhere, so get you some of this cash.
Definitely. And you can also message us on our Gmail account. That's Failing2Freedom, failingtofreedom@gmail.com. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, guys.